Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 5 of Birds at the Rodeo podcast. I'm Eric, your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo podcast. Again, this is a podcast where we talk everything Eagles, everything Cowboys, everything NFL. When crazy stuff happens in the NBA, like the trade that went down with the Knicks and the Timberwolves. I want to get into that with you because I want to hear your thoughts on that.
For sure.
Later. You know, we talk any and everything sports here. Sometimes we don't talk about things that are sports related, man. We speak our piece on our teams and feel free to agree, feel free to disagree. We're here for it all. But before we get started, man, how you doing, man? I feel like I haven't asked you that. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, work is work.
Work is work.
It's tiring, but, you know, can never get enough. Football's
back.
Football makes a lot. It makes everything much easier.
Getting across
the league. Whether that's how much I like sports. I love the Cowboys. We don't got to be the best team for me to be enjoying like what's going on in the league. So
right.
You know, that's all I can ask for. I'm waking up every day. I got my family. I got my friends.
Right.
You know.
Right.
How about you? How you been, man?
I've been good, man. You know.
Hold on. Oh, I'm so sorry to cut you off.
What's up?
Today is my grandma's birthday, so I want to give a shout out to my grandma.
Shout out to Grandma Smart.
My mother's grandmother. Everybody should, even if she met you right now, she'd tell you to call her Grammy. So that's her nickname.
Happy birthday to Grammy. How old is Grammy today?
87 years old.
87 strong.
Yeah.
87 years strong.
Been at bingo all day.
Oh my God, dude. Speaking of bingo, like, oh my God. The senior citizens at my job, like, they love bingo. Sometimes I have to call bingo because my partner in crime, she knows she is. My partner in crime, she'll be out sometimes. So I'll have to fill in for her and call bingo. You know what? Honestly, it's a blast. It's truly a blast. Bingo's fun.
Oh, she literally calls it her job. She plays like at like a bingo hall where the pots are like $750.
Right. Oh my God. Dude, one of the senior citizens that's like a regular at my job, she used to own a bingo hall. It's crazy out here. Like, bingo is legit. Like,
no, for sure. She goes all the time. She wins. Right, she loses. Right, she just has a ball when she's there.
Hey, love that. Hey, I hope. Is it? Would you say Grammy?
Grammy.
Grammy. I hope Grammy wins a lot of money today.
Oh,
I hope she won a lot of money today.
Yeah, same. Good luck, because she's. I know she's playing. But okay, back to you. How you been?
Yeah,
man?
No, it's okay. Hey, shout out Grammy, man. Shout out Grammy. No, I'm good, man. I'm good. Like you said, football's back. Sports is back. Work is work. You know what I'm saying? I've been telling everybody recently, man, like, it's flourishing season, right? So, like, finish 2024 however you want to finish it, man. You know, do whatever you want to do, man. We only got one of these things called lives, right? So do what you want to do out here. Look at me. You out here dream chasing right now, right? So go out there, do what you want to do, man. Be around the people you want to be with. You know, spend your time wisely. Spend the time with your loved ones. You know, do whatever you want. I don't want to get too deep of a spiel about this, but hold on real quick, man, because it is the first day of spooky season. Are you a Halloween guy?
I do like the festivities and everything around it. What I don't like is like horror as a genre, like for movies.
Yeah, I hate horror genres. Hate it.
It's insane to me.
I don't know how people watch it.
My thought process is, why in the world is being scared an emotion you're looking for? Like, if I watch a comedy movie, yeah, I want to laugh.
Right.
Or if I watch an action movie,
you want to feel, the adrenaline.
And then the people's first response when I ask them that question is, oh, well, they're not even scared of me.
Right.
Okay, well, that's dumb. Why are you watching the intention is to scare you, and it's not scary. That's why, that's like me, again, watching a comedy movie, my eyes, and it wasn't even funny.
You know what I think? I think, because from what I've heard, people, like, they like to get the thrill of, like, being scared, or, like, you know, that, like, heart palpitation feeling, like, which, like, I can understand and rationalize. But me personally, I'm cool on that, dog. Like, I'll be real with you. Like, number one, like, some and most horror movies, I feel like they're just not good movies.
The last two horror movies I went to see in the theater, I think it was one of the Annabelles. I went on a date to one. And the girl picked the movie.
So I'm sorry, cut you off. Sign up real quick. Do you think movies, like, was it a first date?
Yeah, it was like.
Do you think movies is a good first date?
Well, we knew each other already. This was back in high school, I think.
Okay.
This is how long it's been since I've gone to a movie.
In general, do you think movies are a good first date? I'll be real with you, I don't.
It depends. If you go.
It depends.
Because I think if that's y'all's only destination, no, I don't think it's a good first date. Right. But if it's like dinner and a movie, where either you go to the movie, eat dinner after, y'all could talk about it. Or even if you go to dinner first and then go to the movies, I think it's pretty, because I've done that.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. I don't think, like, you can't expect to take somebody out to the movies, like, and, like, this is your first date and, like, have nothing else planned and expect, like, to me, I don't know how
y'all, yeah, are y'all going to talk?
Right. Right, exactly. How y'all gonna talk? How y'all gonna conversate? And I mean, granted, you get those one-off situations where it's like you go see a movie with somebody, and then next thing you know, you hanging out with them until 5 a.m, and y'all have all these conversations. But like, that doesn't happen every time. That rarely happens, actually. I feel like.
No, yeah, I definitely don't just do movies.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to see your take on that. But okay, go back to the Annabelle story.
But yeah, we went to see Annabelle, and it was such a bad movie that it was almost funny. But like. So that's dumb. And then the one before that, even this is this tell y'all, like, Annabelle.
Yeah.
And then the one before that was, I think it was the first Paranormal Activity. I've seen
one of the Paranormal Activities. I can't remember which one.
I remember seeing that me and my friends, I was probably like 12, 13 years old, going to see that. We all went to the movies to see it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like pretty creepy.
Yeah.
But then like the ending scene, it's not spoilers. This is a 15-year-old movie or 10-year-old movie at this point.
You haven't seen it at this point, it's your fault.
Right. So there's the girl, she like is possessed, and she's like staring at the dude, and then she like picks him up and like throws him down the stairs, and then like crawls back up the stairs, looks at the little camera, and I was almost in tears, terrified. That was so creepy to me. And that's probably why I don't like the scary movies. I like Halloween.
You like the spirit of it, just not the movies.
Oh, yeah. I went trick-or-treating until I was 19, 20 years old.
Hey, man. Free candy.
I'm so serious.
Are you dressing up this year? You got any plans?
Actually, no. I don't have any plans yet. Trying to plan some stuff.
Right.
Trying to see what some of my coworkers are talking about, throwing some stuff. So we're going to see.
I don't know if they do it at your job, but in my job, there's going to be like a whole Halloween costume contest and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm coming for everybody's head this year, dog, because I should have won it last year, but I didn't because people don't watch Pulp Fiction.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. Dude, I was Jules from Pulp Fiction, bro. I should have won last year, but it's okay. I was new. I was a rookie on the team. I was new to my job. But fast forward a year later, I told everybody today, I'm coming for everybody's head, dog. If I don't win it this year, I'm looking at somebody with a side eye crazy. All right? I want that belt.
The job I was at last Halloween, we didn't have a contest, but we did have a theme. Like, we did dress up on Halloween
of course.
We had a theme, and so the theme was Ken and Barbies. And I will say, if we did have a contest, I absolutely would have won
last year. So you were a Ken,
of course.
Hey, I'm not joking. I'm gonna be a Cowboy Ken this year. But hey, you, Lando, you're not ready, dog.
I was a Cowboy
Lando,
Ken, Eric.
But I'm telling you, I'm sure you looked fantastic. I'm sure you did. But I'm telling you this year, like, you're going to see me because, like, I'm sure we're going to record that Tuesday and everything. You're going to see, dog.
Halloween's on a Tuesday this year?
No. It's on a Thursday, but I'm saying, you'll see me that week. Hopefully. Because I haven't even told Lando this. I'm dyeing my hair.
Okay, so I'll put on a wig. Okay.
I'm dyeing my hair. Listen, I got a whole vision, dude. Like, you're going to see, dog. You're going to see. Okay. But okay, you a Halloween guy. I'm a Halloween guy too. I love dressing up. I love, like you said, the spirit of Halloween. I'm trying to see what my brother and my sister-in-law are doing. My nephew, man, he's about to be 3, so you know, maybe take him to a trunk or treat. You know, what they do is in those parking lots.
Yeah.
Or like take him out. You know what I'm saying? They're taking him out for his first time, man. I got to go with him, bro. I got to go with him, but. Okay, yeah, it's the first day of spooky season, so I hope all you...
Hold on, I got one question, but what was your favorite Halloween costume you had growing up?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know if this was my favorite, but I remember this memory so vividly. It was me, my mom's good friend, her son. Actually, it was two of my mom's good friends and their sons. We all dressed up as Run DMC. I just remember it was a great Halloween that year. I don't know if it was necessarily my favorite costume, but that's the one that comes to mind immediately. So yeah, I'll go with that one. What about you?
I have two. I remember specifically I was a blue Power Ranger, and okay, I really liked
solid,
that.
I really liked that
costume. And then I was Darth Vader one year, so I remember having a red lightsaber. And
no, that's good.
Yeah, so
that's good. Blue Power Ranger. Hey, shout out to the OG Power Ranger, man. For those of you that know, y'all know. Okay, but okay, all right. It is time. It is time to debrief. It is time to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I don't even know. Do you want to go first about Dallas? You want me to go about Philly?
We have the Thursday game, so I'll start it off.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
So had the Giants. We won the game, of course, 20-15. Wasn't a blowout like I thought it would be.
Not.
Wasn't a get right game in terms of we did not get right.
Yeah.
So it's probably almost exactly what you said. What happened? You questioned how would I feel if it was a game where we had some of the same issues. I guess we fixed some in some areas. Like I said, if we had the exact same issues, it would have been 40-something to 20 again. But
right.
The defense did a lot better, but it's again like the Browns game.
Yeah,
their quarterback sucks.
I'll say this though. Hey, and you tell me what you think. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think Daniel Jones played poorly. Like I don't think he played horrible against y'all. I think honestly, and you can disagree with me. The Giants literally, if they score one touchdown, they win by 2 points. And Daniel Jones, like he just like when he needed to make a play, he just could not make that play. But I don't think he played like horrible against y'all.
I don't think he played horrible. I just think he didn't play well enough to win.
To win the game, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's my thing. See, this is where I would, because I feel like there were plays to be made that he just missed.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll also say too, like I don't know if Brian Daboll is calling the plays for the Giants or whoever the offensive coordinator is, dude. Devin Singletary is 5'7", 200 pounds, soaking wet. Dog. The amount of time they just said, we're going to run you in between the tackles and just let you get nothing. It was like, dude, like y'all just kept running into a brick wall. Like I'm watching this and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, obviously, Devin Singletary is he's not even a featured back. But y'all don't have one, right? We know why y'all don't have one. But like, I kept watching that and I'm like, what are they doing? Like the little bit of success the Giants had running the football was on the outside. The little bit of success. And yet they just kept saying, Devin, go in between the tackles. Go. God, a measly, like, what was it, 1.9 yards?
I think that's like the lowest all season.
Right.
But
like that was just horrible. I'm sure you're watching that, like, bro, like it's the Giants being the Giants. Right?
I'm not going to give Mike Zimmer credit for doing that to the Giants.
Yeah, no, that was just – I don't know what the f*** was.
I will give Mozzie Smith credit. He played – this is by far his best game.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. Shout out Michigan Mozzie.
So definitely want to give him a shout out for looking decent. We were down – we were already down Deron Bland to start the season. Kalen Carson, who's a rookie who had to come in – and
did he get hurt?
Yeah, he got hurt. He was out. He missed this entire game. So we had Andrew Booth Jr. in.
Right.
And for some reason, we weren't having Trayvon Diggs shadow Malik Nabers. He was just staying on one side.
Right.
And then League Neighbors absolutely cooked Andrew Booth multiple times.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I can't be mad. Malik Neighbors is, it's only been four games.
Malik, Neighbors is nice.
He's already shown he's an NFL talent wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Booth is a guy who's barely made the team. So it's like, as a coach, how do you even have him in that position to be guarding him like that? That confuses me to no end.
Right.
And then we had there were times we had Diggs guarding Malik Neighbors, and the results were a lot better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's crazy.
Like when you put your best players on the other team's best players, and like
it makes it a lot harder for them. Like,
right.
It's not like
why don't we stick with that?
Right. I don't know what the game plan was there. I think they did stop the run a lot better, but the Giants can't run the ball well.
They legit would have had a better chance calling QB draws with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's athletic enough.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that was. But, okay, so, like, I mean, all in all, you coming away from that game feeling like still in the same boat?
Yeah, I'd give them a.
Yeah, what grade would you give them? A through F?
C minus.
Okay.
I think the offense played really well in the first half.
Mm hmm.
And I don't know. It's almost like Mike McCarthy gets a lead.
And he doesn't know what to do with it.
And he just decides that. Oh, no, he
it decides takes foot
we're
off
just,
the gas.
We're just going to be as conservative as possible.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't understand what his game plan is. The plays we're even scoring on. We finally ran a couple screens, scored on one of them. That was a good play.
Yeah.
But the play CD is scoring on, he's literally just beating double team coverage and just breaking out for huge runs.
He's CD making plays.
Literally. I don't understand. All of our routes, again, showed the pull the route shrub out. Slants, curls, and streaks. Those are the only routes we run. I don't understand it. I think I was watching Get Up, and Dan Orlovsky and Mike Greenberg. They were talking about it. What Mike McCarthy is doing, what Jerry Jones did, first of all, in this roster build, he didn't make it. He didn't do the best job, giving us absolutely no run game. Not. But Mike McCarthy is making it almost impossible to be successful with the way he's calling plays. It's archaic. There's no pre-snap motion.
Yeah.
There's no play action. We run the same plays.
Yeah.
A person we know is a Vikings fan. One of my best friends. We work together, right? It's Thursday night football. We're watching the game at work.
Yeah.
We get a penalty exactly like I called last game. We're gonna get a penalty. It'll be first and 20, and they'll run the ball still. Right up the middle.
Yeah.
And they did the exact same thing. Penalty, first and 20. I was like, watch, we're going to run the ball. He was like,
and he ran the ball?
No. And I was like, because he had mentioned to me earlier, hey, I listened to the episode. Y'all really sound like y'all know what y'all talking about.
Hey, shout out Christian, man. Shout out Christian, bro.
So then we're watching the game. I was like, oh, they're going to run it. And he was like, bro, that's exactly what, he was like, if they run it, that's going to be exactly what you were talking about. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, watch. Set Hutt straight up the middle.
Draw.
They give us no chance to be successful on top of being just the most penalized team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And now I also want to shout out Cooper Beebe because, like, he had a much better game.
Against Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, they sent him a lot of double teams.
Yeah, you got to.
But he allowed no pressures in this game. And Tyler Guyton struggled once again.
He gave it the side to Kayvon Thibodeau, didn't he?
He gave up a sack and had about three holding calls.
Okay.
But I really only fault him for one, maybe two of them. I think they were kind of being
the holding calls.
Yeah, I didn't like them, but it's not for me to like. They called them.
It's not for me to like.
But in terms of my opinion, it is on the player. It is
right,
so.
Right.
Like I said, he's. A rookie playing,
he's a work in progress.
Playing left tackle, one of the hardest positions for the first time in his life.
Transitioning from right tackle.
So, I'm still not completely out of him.
I mean,
Tyron Smith, he also gave up a sack and three pressures in their game. So it's like,
are you keeping up with Tyron Smith?
I'm keeping up with
a lot. Are you keeping up with the former Cowboys?
Yeah, just because it's not like I want to see him. I want to see them do well.
Of course. As long as like Tony Pollard, Tony Pollard. He had a good game.
Now I am mad at him because only because on the, so I have him on my fantasy, so he helped me out.
Oh my God.
And this is, but I am, because he, on the very last play of the game, bounced it outside, scored a touchdown. But when we played Miami last year,
he wasn't doing
it. He did not. He had a chance to do that exact same thing, and we needed that, and he didn't do it. Got stopped on the one, and then Hunter Lipke fumbled on the freaking one on the very next play, and we got it. So you
watched the irrelevant football last night, because that's what I called it, between the Titans and the Dolphins.
I was switching back and forth.
Really? I was not interested in that at all. Especially, dude, I saw Will Levis went down in the first quarter. I was like, oh, man. He was already bad, but like I saw, oh, my God. I saw one play. I saw the play where he threw an interception, but the linebacker dropped it, and the linebacker was, you know what play I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And the linebacker, Lander, you saw it. The linebacker was right there. I saw Will Levis go over to the sideline and say, I literally didn't see him. Dog, what?
Yeah.
I literally didn't see him. He was right there. Whatever. But, okay, so, like, all in all, you still need more from Mike McCarthy. You still need more from Mike Zimmer.
I need Mike McCarthy, so I need him to do better. So, yeah. I'm going to bring up y'all's game just for a second because I want to reference something. So, again, I can't remember. I watch a lot of sports shows, so I don't remember who was saying this, but somebody was basically saying Kellen Moore, the Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, they needed to look at Vic Fangio and y'all's defense. Like, hey man, we're without our two best players. Mm-hmm. We need you guys to, like,
sometimes the defense has to get off.
Yeah, we need you guys to like pull us. Help us out as best as you can.
Right.
And right now, that's what I need from our team. I need Mike McCarthy
to help carry the defense a little bit.
Our defense has shown. They're fully healthy. Well, not fully. They weren't fully healthy. We're missing a lot of corners.
And you were banged up now. Because Mike is out for, like, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
That's what I'm saying. DeMarcus Lawrence is out for 4 or 5 weeks. Mike is actually week to week. He hasn't even been rolled out for the Steelers.
Did somebody else get hurt in that game? I think. Or am I tripping?
No. I think it was just them two. But I would, even if Mike is week to week, I would sit him against the Steelers.
Yeah.
But I'll get to that. But even before that, before we were unhealthy, our defense just wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And our offense has shown they can be good enough. So I need Mike Zimmer not to just give him a pass, but I need him to go to Mike McCarthy and it's like, man, you gotta let these guys put points on the board.
Right.
Almost like, man, he's shown with his...
like, talk, I need you.
Yeah, he's shown what he's capable of, and I've seen what y'all are capable of. Right. I need that offense from last year.
Right.
Because what we're doing right now is not going to cut it against better teams. Because what our game plan is, almost offensively and defensively, is no scheme. It's straight up line up, beat the guy across from you. Be better. Be better than the guy across from you. And against the Giants... that can work, barely, obviously.
Right.
But once we get to the better teams in the league, the Ravens and all, like the based on just the teams we played,
right,
that's not gonna work. Especially when they're not playing that way. They're scheming to where it's like, even if our players aren't better than yours, our game plan, the position we're gonna have them in, is gonna be better than
coaching
yours.
Coaching matters.
Exactly. So
matters a lot.
Like I said in the last episode when Devontae Smith got hurt, I said something. I was like, it was almost like y'all best available receiver getting hurt. Almost saved Kellen Moore.
That's what it took for us to get Saquon the ball. Yeah. Right.
So now what I'm almost hoping is that.
What you about to say?
Defensively.
Man? Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say something crazy.
No. That defensively, now that. Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence has heard now that they know
y'all are actually reeling for real.
We're not better than the guys across from us.
Right.
You have to be better coaching wise. You have to put
these players.
You have defense. I'm saying defense. Your scheme has to be better to stop these plays.
Yeah.
And offensively, yes, like we need a completely. CD isn't going to be able to score on double coverage every time. Brandon Cooks still has speed, but he's lost a step. When I tell you. Did you watch the game?
I watched most of it. I feel like with Brandon Cooks, though, I feel like I saw him get open a few times, but it seems like him and Dak aren't exactly on the same page yet. Is that just me?
What I see from Brandon Cooks is it's not his fault because, like I said, they keep having him run curls and comebacks.
Right.
But he's not getting any separation on those. See, that's the type of route where Dak has to throw it before he's open. Dak has to just trust he's going to get open.
Right.
But when he's hitting those breaks and Dak is putting the ball on him, he's not. There's no separation.
Are y'all putting him in the slot a lot though? Because I feel like Brandon Cook. Like I feel like before, like he could be. He could like serve as an outside receiver. But I feel like now he definitely should be more like exclusively in the slot.
Well.
Like is it? I feel like Brandon Cooks lines up outside the line. Is Jalen Tolbert lining up in the slot?
I pay attention to where they line up, but I just pay more attention to the routes they're running and just to see if they even have a chance to get open. Because my thing would be if it was like how I said there were plays to be made. Daniel Jones had receivers open.
He did.
That played him on Malik Neighbors. He looked like the dude waiting for a punt return. Mm-hmm. He was so wide open and that ball he had to wait for that ball. If he leads him even a little bit or even just throws it up feet, like downfield more to where he doesn't have to wait, that's a touchdown.
Right.
And so if we had plays like that and Dak just wasn't making them or the receivers weren't
getting open.
They weren't like finding the open zones. It's just they're not even running plays like that. They're they're running plays to where
they're not scheming guys open.
I can't say it enough. So the changes have to be made, but like I said before, as long as they get out of there with the win, they can build off that. They can see, hopefully they watch the film and see that this is not working and they change it. I don't understand how they possibly think this is going to be successful when it hasn't been.
Right.
I mean, we're a quarter through the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's 17 games now, not 16, but almost the same math.
Right.
So there's still plenty of time to change it, but there's been plenty of time to see that this isn't working.
Right. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I mean, hey, if we're being honest right now, the Washington Commanders are the best team in the NFC East right now. That's a fair statement, right?
Oh, yeah.
I have
an even bolder statement that I'll say after. I'll let you talk about your team, and we'll get through that.
Okay.
And
I'm interested to hear this.
I have one more thing to say about the thing. Like I said earlier, I would want even if Mike is week to week.
Yeah.
I do want him to sit against the Steelers. I think that they're not. Basically, I think we can beat the Steelers, but I think we can beat the Steelers, and that we lose to the Lions. So
okay.
I think we would have had to have been absolutely perfect to beat the Lions, even
the Steelers
completely
got a
healthy.
Heck of a defense, dude.
They do.
They got a heck of a defense. Are you real quick? Are you hoping to play Justin Fields, or are you hoping they start Russ this week? I thought about that earlier. I was like, I wonder where he's at with that.
I'm not scared of either one of them.
Right.
Actually,
well, fair. But like, who would you prefer to play? Given everything, who would you prefer to play? Because the game is in Pittsburgh, right?
I almost want to say Russ.
Do you want to say Russ?
Because
for
Justin
the record, I'm still a believer in Russ for the Steelers. I'm still a believer in Russell Wilson for the Steelers.
I feel like Justin Fields has shown flashes.
Our friend Trey, the Steelers fan,
yes.
I ask him every week. I said, are you ready to call Justin your guy? Nope, not yet. Not yet. So I think there's still a lot of room. There's a lot left to be desired there. But we will see, man. We will see. I got Pittsburgh next week. We got a bye. And
I would sit Micah for the next 2 weeks.
So y'all don't play? Y'all play Detroit after Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we play Pittsburgh, then we play Detroit, and then have Micah come back for the 49ers game.
Mm.
Which the 49ers game is after the bye.
So okay, so y'all got to buy up to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Give them as much rest as you can. Dang, dude. I don't even know where to... You know what? I was going to say I don't know where to begin. I know exactly where to begin. To come out that flat is just unacceptable. I got nothing. I have nothing to say. There's no excuse for that. And I'm gonna say this too, man, because I really thought about this weekend. And I mean, you may have seen it when I put it in our notes. Dude, it is hard. And I'm not saying this as an excuse. I'm just saying this, right? It is hard to coach with expectations, right? Like Bill Belichick was able to do it. Andy Reid's been able to do it, right? Like the great ones figure it out, right? It is hard to coach with expectations. And with that being said, I don't think Nick Sirianni is capable of coaching with expectations, right? I mean, his first year, right? That's when we traded for AJ, and I mean, we had a good team, but like nobody, not even me, I wasn't expecting us to go to Super Bowl right off the bat, right? Like that was an overachieving year, right? But every year since, it has just been a downward spiral. And, man, to just have us come out ill-prepared against Tampa like that, dog, I can't look at nobody else first and foremost except for Nick Sirianni. I mean, dude, like, you saw what Tampa did to us in the playoffs last year. You knew Todd Bowles was going to come for Jalen Hurts' head. And I don't know if there was a conversation. Obviously, there wasn't a conversation between him and Kellen about like, hey, let's make sure we're calling a lot of blitz beaters. Hey, let's make sure we're getting the ball out quick, right? I mean, like you said, dude. Like honestly, I didn't know what the offense is, what our offense's game plan was heading out there. I really don't.
I mean, my biggest takeaway is I don't understand why y'all refuse to give Saquon the ball. And Nick Sirianni makes me mad because they asked him about it. Why he only, because Saquon, I think he had 2 carries in the first half.
He had 10 carries in the whole game. He had 10 carries for 84 yards. Yeah,
10 carries, that's egregious to me. And then he asked why he only had 2 carries in the first half. And his answer was that y'all only had 9 plays and 3 of them were third downs because y'all had 3 and outs.
Dude.
And that is true. I get that.
If y'all had
6 plays that weren't second and third on third down, I mean, if that's the case, 5 out of those 6 non-third down plays should have been Saquon touches.
Lando.
Whether it's a screen, a handoff, a quick throw at the back.
How many times am I going to say it? If you have an all-pro running back, give him the ball.
Especially when you're without your all-pro wide receiver 1
and
pro bowl wide receiver 2.
Okay. Yo, tell me this, right? Tell me this. How is it that you know you're down your top 2 receivers? You're down to me, in my opinion, the best right tackle in football still in Lane Johnson. You know you're down these guys, right? And you just, it seemed like you had no plan in place. We barely gave Saquon the ball. Dude, what's crazy is his backup, Kenny Gainwell, one of the best receiving running backs in the league. Did we get Kenny the ball? No. We didn't even give Saquon the ball. It's like, I'm watching the game yesterday between Seattle and Detroit. I'm watching that, and you know what I said to myself? I said, I hope Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni are watching this game and, like, taking notes from how Seattle and Detroit run their offenses. I don't like this man as a head coach, me personally, but Kyle Shanahan, say what you want about him, you know, fully as a head coach, but the man knows offense.
Oh, his coaching tree kills us.
And Kyle Shanahan's offense is so set. When he's down Debo, he's down Christian McCaffrey, they still smooth sailing, dog.
Literally.
They still smooth sailing. That's what a good offense is, man. A good offense is not an offense predicated on getting A.J. Brown the ball, getting Devonta Smith the ball, getting CeeDee Lamb the ball on a go route. That is not a good offense. A good offense is an offense in which you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different guys you can give the ball to at any given chance, and you know they can take it to the house. Or at least you know you can spread the defense out because they got to account for an A.J. Brown, for Devonta Smith, for Jahan Dotson. It shouldn't take A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith getting hurt for us to be like, okay, now we give Jahan Dotson the ball. Dude, what?
He still didn't really get the ball.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand. It should never be It should never be Jalen, okay, like, 1-2, where's Devontae, where's AJ? No, dude, like, sometimes it's okay to have AJ Brown be the decoy. Sometimes it's okay to have Devontae Smith be the decoy. Dude, bro. Like, we know AJ Brown's a game breaker. I know that. I love him. But do you realize if you get Jahan Dotson going, if you get Dallas Goedert going, they can only double cover AJ Brown for so long and Devontae Smith for so long. They can only load the box for so long with Saquon Barkley back there if you gave him the football. Do you realize if you gave Saquon Barkley the football, they would have to load the box? And by the way, our quarterback can run, and we know he can run, and they know that too, so they got to account for him too. And guess what happens when they load the box? It's one-on-one on the outside. And you got, in my opinion, you got two all-pro caliber receivers out there when healthy. Like, I genuinely don't. And it's crazy because to me and you, right, this sounds like common sense.
Literally.
Like, that's right?
I was thinking that. Like, it makes me so mad.
Dude, I'm talking to my coworker, fellow Eagles fan. I'm talking to him about it. And I'm literally saying, like, this is crazy because this is common sense to me. So I know, you know, being up there, being in the NFL, I'm sure it comes with his headaches, being a coach, whatever. I get it, but dog, like, the Eagles are way too talented to be coming out looking like this. Way too talented. I'm so sick of this, man. I literally told myself yesterday, man, I'm like, Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, he would look great in Kelly Green. Like, legit, bro. And I'm not done on the season. I'm not, because it's only week four. We got time to figure it out, but we got to figure it out now. But my God, man, Nick Sirianni, dog, I should have known last year, because he kept doing that coach speak. You know what I mean when I say coach speak?
Yeah,
he kept saying the same things. The fundamentals. We got to get back to the fundamentals. How we get back to the fundamentals? You over here got 8-9 penalties in the game, bro. You keep preaching that every week, but yet we keep coming out looking undisciplined every week. Did you see that Cooper DeJean fumble?
Yeah.
He pushed him into and then after the game, I forgot which player it was.
He did it on purpose.
He said he's coached to push the guy into him.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael Clay, that's our special teams coordinator, Michael Clay. Dog, I hope that's not true. I hope he just had a brain fart. What are we doing, fellas?
I will say, I think that, like, to y'all's credit, no, it's like not.
I'm surprised. No. I ain't got no credit to give us.
It's just, I think that some teams just match up well against others. Like,
yeah. No, the Bucs versus Tampa's y'all, a great defensive team. Todd Bowles is a great defensive coach. I'm not arguing that.
Like, the same, like, they might be like y'all's Niners, or like how I said, like, how no matter how much the Vikings are good, like, I think we always beat them.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, I hear you, but then there was also moments where, like, in the second half, when we got momentum early, and then Jalen fumbles. Or then the defense can't get off the field, right? Like, it's still, and yes, and I know the turnovers have got to stop. I'm not arguing that. Turnovers have got to stop. I've been saying that all season. Turnovers have got to stop. That fumble was bad. That can't happen. All right. Jalen said it. He knows it. Turnovers have got to stop. All right. But we are too talented of a team to be out here looking like this. And I know Jeffrey Lurie knows it. I'm not saying I want Bill Belichick, but Bill Belichick is sitting there, and we know for a fact that a conversation was had between him and Jeff Lurie last offseason. All right, so I am cautiously, very cautiously, I'm not even going to say optimistic. I can't think of a word. What's below optimistic? I'm cautiously just like waiting and seeing, because we got a bye week, right? That's going to tell us, I mean, the way we come out and respond, it's going to tell us everything we need to know. And real quick about defense, Vic Fangio, dog, it's crazy. We weren't in our, against the Saints, right? We were in our base defense majority of the game, and it worked like a charm. And then we go up against the Bucs, and we just said, forget that. I don't know. Me personally, I'll be real with you. I don't like him in the box either. Vic Fangio, like, he sits up in the box. He's not on the field with the players. Me personally, I don't like that. I feel like I feel like especially if there's offensive and defensive coordinators, like if your group is not doing well, you need to be out there. Me personally.
I feel that.
Me personally. Hey, yo, Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff, Lando, he can go somewhere, dog. Like he can go.
He definitely had a bad game.
His stat line is a big fat zero.
Yeah, that's
big
crazy.
Fat zero. Bryce Huff, you can go. You can go to a show, you can go to a movie, I don't know if you got a girl, bro. You can go take her out, take her on a vacation, you can go. Just don't come back to the facilities until you figure it out. Cause I'm sick of this, man. I really hope Howie didn't whiff on this one, but it appears he whiffed. You know who the last edge player Howie Roseman whiffed on was?
Who?
Marcus Smith, linebacker out of Louisville. We would have drafted him in the first round. Bust. Major bust. Major bust. Dude, I saw someone say like Bryce Huff is legit gonna be our worst free agent signing since we signed Byron Maxwell.
Man.
And hey, they're not wrong. Dog, Bryce Huff, what? Did you really? Man, is that the Jets? Is it that you look that good with the Jets that we thought you were a good player? Is that what happened? That had to be what happened, right? And get this. I know you saw the Hassan Reddick stuff, right?
Oh, how
he wants to come back, but we can't trade back for him because of a stupid NFL rule. You can't trade back for, you can't reacquire a player like that within the first 2 years. So hey, Jets. Hey, real talk. I'm sure if we cut Bryce, I gotta see what the cap hit will look. But the topic of this being, let's say it could be a clean slate. Let's say it doesn't damage us financially too much. If we cut Bryce, y'all can take him back, and y'all go ahead and cut Hassan, and we'll just call it even. We'll just call it even. Hassan, dog. I'm sure Howie will give you the money you want, dude. Because I'm being real, dude. Like, if the deal that we offered Hassan was anything close to Bryce Huff's, and it didn't work out, I Howie, dog, how do we not? You the magician, bro. How do we not finish that? How do we not finish that? There are so many question marks on this team, and it's insane because we are so talented. It's not even funny. But there are so many question marks on this team. I gotta wait and see, man. I gotta wait and see. But I am officially on the Nick Sirianni needs to go. But like if he figures it out and fixes it, okay, cool. Do I think he will? No. I don't. Because I don't think he can coach with expectations. This is more so like even in Philly than a lot of other, you know, sports towns. But like, dude, like you got to be built to be there as a player and perform at a high level, to be there as a coach and perform at a high level. We've seen it time and time again, right? Carson Wentz, Ben Simmons, Doc Rivers. Right, these are guys who, on paper, were great players or great coaches. They could not mentally handle being in Philly. It's not meant for everybody. It ain't cut out for everybody. And that's okay. That's okay. Nick Sirianni, go like the. Hey man, go to the Titans. Right, go to the Jaguars, because it sounds like they're about to let go of Doug Peterson, who I don't think we should have fired in the first place. But hey, what do I know?
I agree with everything you just said, except that Doc Rivers is a great coach.
hey, okay. You know what? Let me rephrase my statement. Doc Rivers was a great coach back in 2008. Ever since then, he's been a flopper. He's been a choker. It's funny because our friend Trey, the Steelers fan, he's also a Clippers fan, and he will argue me to the death
that it's not Doc Rivers' fault.
It's not Doc Rivers' fault. Nope. Yeah. It's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
He literally gets so. What do you want Doc to do? He can't make.
It's crazy.
It's so funny.
If hey, Doc Rivers, if you ever check this out, bro, Trey Taylor, he is your biggest supporter.
Facts. You got a fan.
You got to get him a ticket.
If you have one supporter, it is Trey Taylor.
You
got
to get him tickets to the game, dog. He out there in Milwaukee taking Adrian Griffith's job like that. That's sad, bro.
Yeah.
That's sad. Oh, don't even get me started with that. But
my opinion, so I want to say it. Even in 2008, I don't even think he was a great coach. I think he
just had a great team.
I think he caught the Celtics as a whole caught the league off guard with the
trade,
with the beginning of the big three. Year. Yep. I don't understand how the Heat get that when they literally did it. And
I think it's because the Miami, they were more flashy with it, right? I mean, it was LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh. Like,
true.
The Celtics, it was like KG. Everybody thought he was washed. Rajon Rondo, everybody was like, can he really be an elite point guard? Ray Allen, everybody thought he was washed. Like,
heck no. These dudes were
Paul
still.
Paul Pierce. We say big three. That was a big four, bro.
Oh, literally.
You know, we say big three. That was a big four. Rajon Rondo, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett.
It became a big four. It actually wasn't that much of a big four when they won.
Because was he on the team?
He was on the team, but he wasn't as good.
By
the time he was, the league caught up, and they didn't win anymore.
Hey, man. Hey, Rajon Rondo, I know he got a lot of stuff going on off the court and everything, but, like, hey, Rajon Rondo, like, in his prime.
Oh, it's one of my favorite point guards.
Rondo, one of the best point guards out there, period, point blank. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because it was a sad day. Was it Friday last week? I can't remember the day, but it was a sad day last week, man. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Last week? No.
Derrick Rose retired, man.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I didn't know that.
For those of you, I think I mentioned on the show before, but I am a diehard Chicago Bulls fan. And I was genuinely sad when I woke up early for work, and I had a little bit of time to kill. So I went to the gym, and I get back, and I see him on the phone, man. Derrick Rose announced retirement. I said, man, I actually felt that, bro. Like, Derrick Rose is the reason I became a Bulls fan. Like, I legit started watching basketball seriously when he got drafted. Like, he turned me into a diehard Bulls fan. And, man, that dude went through a lot. You know what's funny? I saw a clip yesterday, just like throwback clips about Derrick Rose, like other players talking about Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. And it was when Jabari Parker, when he signed with the Bulls, and like they asked him like, oh, like, you know, how do you relate to Derrick, you know, and like in terms of like all the ups and downs you've had to go through. And Jabari, like, he immediately, as soon as he heard, he said, wait, he said, stop. He said, Derrick didn't have any downs. He was like, no, I'm just talking about like, no. He was like, I'm just talking about the injuries. And Jabari's like, no. Like, injuries, that's a part of life. He was like, injuries happen in sports, injuries happen in real life. Like, everybody goes through injuries. Like, and I get what he was saying. He goes, like, Derrick didn't have any downs. He said, Derrick Rose is a Chicago legend. Period, point blank, the end. And I saw that, man. I rock with that, man. I appreciate Jabari Parker standing up for his guy like that. But for me personally, man, Derrick Rose, bro, like, you started the love, man. Like, genuinely started the love for me as a Chicago Bulls fan. I am terribly sorry that you had to go through the injuries you had to go through. I will never forgive Tom Thibodeau for that game against the 76ers, because he shouldn't have even been in the game.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau is a menace.
He, like, I'm blaming you, Tom Thibodeau. You can talk about the Adidas curse or whatever. No, I'm blaming Tom Thibodeau. All right, but I felt like I had to say something, man. Shout out to Derrick Rose. You talk about the greatest shoulda, coulda, woulda story. Like, it's him. Because I'm not going to lie, and you can disagree with me, whatever, but in my personal opinion, I genuinely feel like we have a few banners, at least one, up there in the United Center if Derrick Rose stays healthy. And, yeah, man, Derrick Rose, man, in his prime, one of the best players ever, period. If you don't know, go look at the tape, dog. Go look at the tape. The most explosive point guard ever. In his prime, I don't care. I'm taking him over anybody. I'm taking him over everybody. So, shout out D Rose, man. I had to get that off my chest real quick.
No, definitely, for sure, legend. He'll be a Hall of Famer if the league does right by him.
Do you think he'll be a Hall of Famer?
I say this as not like disrespect to the NBA, mm-hmm. but, or NBA anybody who's made it, but the Basketball Hall of Fame isn't the hardest to get to.
No, because it's not. It's not, do you think Derrick Rose did enough?
Yeah, because it's not just the NBA Hall of Fame. It's literally like
it's your whole basketball career.
Yeah. So
the youngest MVP,
no MVPs that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, his window, right? Like, his window was so small. And, like, he was great at Memphis, but, like, he didn't lead him to a chip. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're getting a truth be told.
He definitely led them deep on a tourney run.
You think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'd love to see him get in. I don't know. I don't know. You know, because that window was so small, dude. Like, oh.
Man, he's the reason LeBron didn't win 5 MVPs in a row. Like, that year. And what
that year
the
crazy.
Potential he had right. to like build off, yeah,
it was crazy.
Who knows where he would have went?
Crazy, yeah, man. So shout out Derrick Rose, man. You know, man, I wish you and your family nothing but happiness, joy, and peace in this next phase of life for you. And hey, man, thank you for the memories, D Rose, for real, bro. Like I remember watching you yam on Goran Dragic like it was nothing.
Oh my God, his two hand like back scratcher dunk was like iconic. You mentioned a player who was talking about him. I watch Jeff Teague's podcast a lot. Club 520. That's literally like my favorite basketball podcast.
Okay, and is so it good? Man, I need to check it out.
No, it's hilarious because it's him, and then it's like two of his like homeboys like that he grew up with. So yeah. they don't treat him like Jeff Teague. They treat him like
Jeff Teague. Yeah, like so Jeff. Yeah.
They
yeah.
be making fun of him.
I love that.
It's real for sure. And
I
so,
love that.
He was talking about how he was on the team when D Rose was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that time he dropped 50.
Yep.
He said literally the entire locker room and he did that. He dropped 50. He was crying. They were crying. It was a bunch of, it was like the emotion. It was like you said, not the ups and downs, but just everything he went through
right.
to get to that. And he said he told them before the game, he was going for 50. He said he was going, he said, man, I'm going for 50 tonight.
Right.
And he went out there and did it. So that just shows you what.
Derrick Rose is a genuine dude. Like, everybody from the NBA, dude, like, they're showing him love, bro. Like, Dwight Howard's over here posting about him. Like, you got dudes that, like, have no business posting about him. I just think that shows what kind of character he is, what kind of man he was, what kind of teammate he was. So shout out to Derrick Rose, man. You know, I hope retirement treats you well. Thank you for the memories you gave me and every other Bulls fan. Number one has to be retired soon, like ASAP. Like, if we could do it tomorrow. No one else should grace that number. Because he's one of them ones, man. He is one of them ones. But, say, man, did you watch Seattle and Detroit?
Yeah, I watched that game.
All right, let me ask you something real quick. And maybe it's just me. I don't think it's just me, but, like, DK Metcalf. Like, he is so physically gifted. He, I mean, 4'3 speed. He's 6'3, like, a jacked 240, 235, 240, right? Like, he has all the physical tools to be, like, legit the best receiver in the NFL. But, yeah, it just seems like he can never put it all together. Is that just me?
When I watch it, I feel like it's kind of like they – like how we do. They only put him in a position to where it's like, oh, you got to beat your man, to where it's like you got to have a perfect throw. You got to
– Yeah, but like,
they don't get him in positions to, like
– I don't know,
get in
dude.
Open space. I feel like they only make – all his catches are, like, contested because he's not doing anything.
But you know what, though? I might push back on that a little bit because, like, I mean, there were definitely, like, mesh plays that he dropped yesterday. Like, I remember him running right across the field, dropping him. I don't know, dude. Because coming out of college, right, him and A.J. Brown, they were teammates, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, DK Metcalf, he's going to be the next Megatron, easy, right? A.J. Brown, you know, he slid. They thought he was cool, but, like, he slid. They didn't think he was going to be what he ended up being, right? I mean, I feel like A.J. Brown has become the player that DK Metcalf should be.
Well, I definitely think A.J. Brown is a better receiver,
right,
more complete.
Right. I don't know, dog. I feel like every time I watch DK Metcalf, like, I don't think he's a game changer. I don't think he's a game breaker like he should be. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk about DK Metcalf in the same breath as, like, these other top receivers. We don't.
Definitely not.
We never do. He's had 2,000-yard seasons in his career. I just, I'm never watching Seattle's game and saying to myself, dang, the opposing defense, like, they have got to shut down DK Metcalf. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never. Never, even when we played him, I knew he was a good receiver, but like, and I mean, he worked Slay. I'm not gonna argue that he worked Slay,
he killed De'Ron Bland for like three touchdowns.
Right. But when y'all play him, like, do you go into that game thinking like, oh man, like DK is gonna, you know, he's gonna break us today? Like,
yeah, he killed De'Ron Bland had to switch Stephon Gilmore.
Right. But I'm saying like going into that game, were you nervous about DK Metcalf?
He was the only one he's the only person on the team I would be nervous.
Really? Because I don't even feel that way. I don't even feel that way. I feel like everything has been there. He has not materialized into the dominant receiver that he should be. Maybe that's just me.
I mean, he had 7 catches, 140 yards.
I know. It's just like, but you know, I'm like a game breaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, CD's a game breaker. AJ Brown's a game breaker. Jamar Chase. Justin Jefferson, obviously, right?
I don't think he's one of them, but I still think. I just think he's just not as good as that.
Like, where would you put him right now in the top receiver rankings? Is he in the top 10?
Probably like 10 to 15.
I don't know. I feel like a guy like I said, he got all the physical tools in the world. Right? He's literally Baby Megatron. Like, literally Baby Megatron. And I don't know, man. I feel like he has not been, the dominant player. I feel like Seattle drafted him to be, and you know, everybody expects him to be, but I don't know, man. We'll see with Seattle. But speaking of other wide receivers, I mean, hey, it's funny. I work with a Raiders fan, and I didn't see him today. I'm definitely gonna ask him about it tomorrow. But does Davante Adams want out?
I said that last episode.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I mean, hey, I said it. I literally said it. When Gardner Minshew was announced as a starter, I was like, okay, watch Davante Adams request a trade.
Mm-hmm. I think he's not happy there. I think
he ain't going to Dallas, though.
I would. I mean, yeah, because that would be too smart. I would definitely give up, because I think they said they wanted a second for him. I would definitely give up a second. I would give up.
You think it's going to happen? You think they're going to move him?
Yeah, because I think there are a lot of other teams besides Dallas that do need receivers. I feel like there are teams would probably give up more than a second.
Imagine, I don't think this could happen financially, but if Davante Adams ended up in Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't like that?
No, because I don't want Baltimore.
No. Obviously, I'm just saying. If he ended up in Baltimore, that'd be crazy.
I don't.
Oh my God, he's not even entertaining. He doesn't want to entertain.
I don't want to talk about him anywhere.
I didn't say the 49ers. I didn't say Washington. I said Baltimore. That's the AFC.
I don't want him going anywhere. If he's not gonna go to Dallas, he needs to stay.
Okay, shut up. This guy here. Okay, whatever.
Because if he doesn't, it just means Jerry doesn't make. And for me,
he doesn't make moves like
it
that.
It makes me. It confuses me to no end that Jerry doesn't think that. Because like I've said before, Jerry wants all the credit. He wants everything to be. How is free agency not that? When Howie makes moves and then gets called a magician, it's because he makes moves in free agency. And if y'all were to put a team together,
and he pulls trades off when trades need to be pulled off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he makes, he does
timely
with
moves.
A GM, I don't understand how he thinks a GM doing what the rest of the other GMs are doing would not give him credit. That makes no sense to me.
So you think he goes against the grain on purpose?
Oh yeah, I said it before. I think he wants the credit, but I just don't understand why he doesn't think the credit.
Sometimes it's crazy because I keep bringing it up, right? Like, the answer is right in front of you, and it's okay if other people have the answer to the test.
Yeah,
right. Like, it's okay.
Sometimes I think, like, with Derrick Henry and stuff, it's like almost he thinks if he makes too obvious of a move, it's like, it's not like, oh, Jerry's
and
not a...
you got Derrick
yeah,
Henry.
It's like, oh, Jerry's not a genius. Anybody would have signed Derrick Henry. So
dude,
he doesn't...
Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know what his...
Right.
Rationality.
Like, that's like us signing Saquon and be like, well, like, I mean, or us like not pulling the trigger on Saquon. Like, I didn't want to be the one to sign Saquon. Bro, what? If you don't go get Saquon Barkley, what are you talking about? So, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And I mean, I would be so frustrated as a fan if Howie Roseman moved like that. So frustrated. Do I think Davante Adams will be traded?
I think we could realistically make a play for Davante Adams.
He is not going to Dallas. I'm calling it right now.
You could say that about anything.
He is not going to Dallas.
Yo, who can you? You can't say that just because he hasn't.
That.
No, you cannot.
I can.
Because that's like me saying he's not going anywhere.
I'll rephrase. I do not believe Davante Adams will end up a Dallas Cowboy. Is that better?
I mean, it's like
I'm not saying that to slight you or anything. I genuinely don't believe Dallas will make a move of that magnitude. I don't believe that.
We can do. We have just as much chance as any other team.
No. I'm not arguing about the chance. I just don't believe Dallas will say to themselves, "Okay, you know what? We need to make a huge move. Go get Davante."
Before we traded for a first round pick for Amari Cooper, we had who was the last guy we traded for before then? Roy Williams, I think. And that was in like 2008.
So I don't think Dallas will pull that off. Me personally, I don't. I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, if the news breaks, Davante Adams is a Cowboy, I will be the first one on here to say I was wrong.
I'm not saying he will or he. I'm just saying we realistically could make a play for Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, and DeAndre. Those are the three.
Because they were talking about Kansas City, because now Kansas City down, you know, Rashee Rice.
That was crazy.
Apparently, he didn't actually tear his ACL, which is amazing.
I mean, dude, Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what that was.
That was such a bad throw.
I need to reevaluate Pat as my fantasy quarterback. I ain't gonna lie.
You drafted him fourth round and don't even start him.
I'll admit it. I thought Kansas City was gonna start out hot, right? They drafted Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice coming back for his second year. I thought they were gonna start out hot. They just, for whatever reason, they start off slow. I don't know what it is. I thought Patrick Mahomes was going to come out here and say, all right, like, I'm back. I got my speedy deep right now. What are y'all going to do? Hasn't happened yet. So I overestimated that. I'll admit I overestimated there. I saw they were talking about DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. I'll tell you what. I bet you Calvin Ridley is regretting going to the Titans right now, dog.
Yeah, no, they look terrible.
There could be a few wide receivers out on the move. Davante, if I honestly had to bet my money on like where I think he would end up, I'm not gonna lie, because I just said it. Baltimore will make a trade like that. Like Eric DaCosta, he is not afraid. Their GM, he's not afraid to say, all right, you know what, all chips in, let's go. He would make a move like that. Let me think, who else? I mean, I don't think if you're Buffalo, if you're Buffalo, I say maybe. Whatever, it's crazy because they look like the little engine that could, right? I mean, their best receiver is Khalil Shakir. I don't know, Buffalo maybe. I mean, there's no way. There's literally no way they would trade Davante Adams to the Chiefs. Like, that will never happen.
Right.
But then again, I mean, I say that. I mean, dude, the Lions traded T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings.
Right.
So, I mean, it's highly unlikely, but it could happen. But, I mean, I'd probably say Baltimore, Buffalo. I mean, I can't. I'll put y'all as a dark horse, right? Because I'm thinking of guys, like teams that are either contenders or like should be contenders. They're just a piece away, maybe, right? Like I'll put y'all as a dark horse contender. I don't think y'all will say, okay, you know what, go get Davante. Like I don't believe Dallas will say that. I could be wrong though. But yeah, as you mentioned earlier, y'all got Pittsburgh coming up this week. Is it is it in Pittsburgh?
It is in Pittsburgh. We haven't been there since Dak and Zeke's rookie year.
Ooh, okay. And you're feeling pretty good about the game though?
Yeah, I think we can win. I think the Steelers.
Okay, hold on. The Dallas Cowboys will win against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh as long as y'all what?
Stop running an archaic offense. If we open up our offense to where, because like I said, I've been saying where this season has gone almost identical to last year, to where we were terrible the first few games of the season and completely turned the offense. So it's almost like that's what I'm just hoping, it's a repeat of that. So like we're showing we have an offense that can do it. So until then, I just have to see them basically open that offense up, and that's going to be the only way we can win, because I think our defense is going to struggle, but I don't think the Steelers
missing your top two edge players.
I don't think the Steelers are,
they're not good enough to like take advantage of it fully.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much. I think Najee Harris is an amazing running back. I think
that's I don't know if I call him amazing, but
I mean
he.
That's true. I wouldn't say
like how do I, well, see, it's crazy because like he's put up 1,000 yards in each of his seasons, each of his career seasons so far. But like, I don't know, man. It's like it's the same thing I said with DK. It's just like, and now granted, like his O line has been questionable at best.
His team has like his team, offense
right,
as a whole,
right? So I believe in Najee Harris. I think he can be the Steelers running back long term. I just think like they got to figure out what they're doing. They got to figure out what they're doing at quarterback first, right? Got to fix that O line. And then go from there. We can
win if our offense isn't archaic, and if our defense, if last week wasn't an anomaly for our defense and what they did against the run.
Right. Yeah, because you're definitely gonna have to stop the run against Pittsburgh with Najee and Jalen Warren back there. But I mean, for us, I mean, you know, like I said, we got a bye week, and. Nick Sirianni, I truly hope you are in that building doing some self-reflecting. Kellen Moore, you too. Vic Fangio, you too. Everybody, man. Everybody associated with the Philadelphia Eagles need to be sitting there saying to themselves, how can I be better? Because if you're Nick Sirianni, I'm telling you right now, dog, you are not setting up your team for success. And I said on the first episode, man, if you don't figure out a way to make this a cohesive season, a season in which the offense is flowing, the defense is playing lights out, and we make a deep playoff run. I'm not even saying Super Bowl. I'm saying a deep playoff run. I'm saying a deep playoff run. And we look solid in all phases of the game. If you don't figure that out, it's going to be a cold day for you in Philly, dog. And I'm not going to feel sorry. I'm not going to feel sorry. I hope the next call we make is to Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, any of these guys, man. I don't know. Maybe Bill Belichick, if I come around on him. I don't know.
McCarthy's in the same boat, but he's just not going to get fired. This is just the last year on this contract. So.
You know, okay, so, I mean.
So the only thing that will earn him a renewal is a deep playoff run. Right. So they'll just.
Right.
Let it expire and move on from there. But
yeah.
And which I have zero problem with. And if he makes a deep playoff run, it depends. If we make a deep playoff run in spite of him, I'll still want him going. But
Right. I'm coaching down. Matters, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Coaching matters. All right. Yeah, me and Lando could sit up here and say Dak should have done this, Jalen should have done that, CD should have done this, what is Saquon doing? Whatever. We can say it to a boo in the face, bro. But like the first step is literally the coaches putting players in positions to succeed.
Right.
If they don't do that, I can only be so mad at Saquon Barkley for getting 10 carries in a game and rushing for 84 yards.
Literally.
I can only get so mad at that, dog. Make that make sense. Nick Sirianni, figure it out, man. I'm sick of this. Figure it out. Okay. I think that's a wrap for this episode, unless you got something you want to say real quick.
I had my hot take from earlier.
Oh, yes. What is your hot take?
So, first, I'm going to preface this by saying...
Oh, God.
I do not subscribe to wins being a QB stat. I don't.
Okay.
Like, I don't. One QB having a better record than the other doesn't.
That doesn't paint the whole picture for you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But at the same time, not only has Washington been the best team in the NFC East, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels has been the best quarterback in the mm-hmm. NFC East.
I don't disagree with you.
But at the same time, Jalen Hurts has been the worst quarterback in the NFC East. Through four games, he has been the worst quarterback in the NFC East.
So you're saying he's worse than Daniel Jones?
No, he's not worse. He's played
worse
than
Daniel. How is he playing worse than Daniel Jones?
Through four games.
How is he playing worse than Daniel Jones?
I mean, he has more turnovers. I think they have the same amount of touchdowns. less yards, I'm pretty sure.
I'm double checking this right now. Before I respond in one way or another, I'm double checking this right now. Hold on. I hope y'all are having a fantastic Tuesday or whenever you check this out. Again, we are available everywhere now. Everywhere you can find podcasts. Okay. Jalen has 930 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Passer rating of 85.7. Daniel Jones. It's funny. Did I tell you I got a bet with this? Okay. Daniel Jones, 881 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 80.8 rating.
I think Daniel Jones had a really bad first game, and that's been better than Jalen Hurts since then.
Okay. Whatever. But, like, statistically speaking, Jalen Hurts has had a better season than him. He has one more interception.
And more fumbles.
Does Daniel Jones has a fumble this year? Hold on, because I'm looking now. He's forcing me to do this.
Yeah, he's fumbled once but didn't lose it.
Okay, yes, Jalen has fumbled more than one. Okay, you know what? Whatever, bro. Whatever. Listen.
It's only through four games.
Whatever.
I think Daniel Jones is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
He just wanted to get that Eagles jab in there before we ended the show.
Well, okay, because... More so. So, last week we had our argument about Jalen Hurts, and so I asked.
And I stand by my statement.
I asked the question about Joe Burrow. How long are we going to let them live? Are you going to start saying
how long are we going to let Jalen Hurts slide?
Because since the Super Bowl, he has been actually bad.
Yes.
And it's been a whole season and 4 games through the first season.
And does that not coincide with what I said about Nick Sirianni?
About him...
About since the Super Bowl, Nick Sirianni's also fallen off a cliff.
Yes, that's,
okay.
That's
so okay,
true.
So two things can be true.
No, and I also want to say that I don't blame Jalen for this loss at all. Like I'll give him the same benefit I give Dak.
Yeah,
like how your defense giving up a touchdown dang near every drive is almost impossible to win. I think he did like that fumble because y'all still had a chance
there.
We
had a small chance in the third quarter.
Right.
A small chance.
That fumble was big, but it was still way too much outside of that.
I mean, like, dude, I was literally getting my hair cut like at my barber's, and like he has the game on, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm just like, bro, like, y'all, like, just figure it out. You saw what happened. You saw what happened. Again, Nick Sirianni, figure it out. I'm sick of this, dog. I'm sick of this. God, like, just figure it out, bro. Or you know what? Don't. Because if you don't figure it out, Jeffrey Lurie's going to kick you out, dog. He's going to kick you out. And then we're going to usher in whoever. Ben Johnson, Bill Belichick, Bobby Slowick, one of these hot college coaches. Nick Saban. I don't know. But you better figure it out, man. Because if this season goes to waste because of you, dog, we got way too much talent on this team, dude. We got way too much talent for this. Way too much talent. But with that being said, you can only win off of talent for so long. Eventually, the better coaches and the better run teams will figure it out. It is that simple.
I do have a question, though. Cause
what is your question?
Because... we've been saying a lot of the times it's about, I know I've been saying for my team, it's more of a scheme issue. Like they're just not even in a position.
Yeah.
But in the in the Buccaneers game, y'all's defense weren't not in the position they had.
A lot of missed tackles. And what did I say? I said earlier, man, Nick Sirianni, all this coach speak, Vic Fangio a little bit too, like, we're working on tackling. We got to work on that. Are you actually working on it?
Well, here's what point, like, you mentioned Bryce Huff. But what about, at what point are you looking at the players saying, how are you missing these tackles?
CJ missed a few tackles. CJ Garner, hey, listen. I love players that trash talk. As long as you back it up.
Well, I remember. I was gonna ask how you feel, because before the season, in our first episode, you were saying he was like, you gave credit to Saquon. Obviously, he was the biggest, but I said CJ,
bringing CJ back was the I stand by, dude. He said there's a few coverage issues that he needs to fix. He said that he came out and said that he has not been playing at his best. He's missed a few big plays. I'm not arguing that. And like, again, I'm here for the trash talk. I'm here for the rah-rah stuff. As long as you back it up, bro.
So
you stop backing it up, you need to shut up and get back in the lab.
He's giving up a touchdown every game.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Malik Hooker hasn't done, and I'm sick of him. And
Are you asking me, am I sick of CJ yet?
No. Okay. I'm just saying.
Players gotta make plays.
Right.
Players gotta make plays. Like, and N'Kobe Dean, who I think has been playing really well this season for the most part, he missed a few big tackles. Our defense played poorly, all right? Because, I mean, hey, man, if you really want to talk about it, Darius Slay, I think he's on his last leg, dog.
I was going to ask you about him specifically.
I think he's on his last leg.
How do you feel about, or what were you about to say?
I mean, I told you before, right? I said it. I genuinely feel like by the end of the season, Quinyon Mitchell will end as our number one corner.
Oh, he definitely looked good against Mike Evans.
He looks good every game. I'm just waiting for him to get his first pick, bro. He's had like three picks that he's dropped.
That's, you know what? That was the exact same sentiment I had against Trayvon Diggs as a rookie. He was in the perfect position to make so many plays and didn't.
You know what? Also, Avante Maddox, he's on my short list of guys that might need to get benched, because I'm sorry, bro. Like,
he's a slot corner.
He's a slot corner, number 29. He's a slot corner. He's been our slot corner for the past, man, what, 5-6 years? And like, when he was healthy, he was one of the best slot corners in the game. But like, he's had a lot of injuries in the past two or three years. And like, dude, Cooper DeJean is sitting there. He's sitting there waiting to play. And I think he's ready to play. So I'm not going to lie to you. Vic Fangio, if you are listening to this, or if somebody in your family somehow, some way catches the show, dog, please consider giving Cooper a real look at nickel, please. I'd also like to see Isaiah Rodgers get in there a little bit more. We brought him in for a reason. I mean, because the reality is, man, after this year, our secondary is going to look like very, very different. Like, I don't think Slay will be back. James Bradbury, I mean, yeah. Adios, bro. I know you're on IR right now, but
I didn't even know he was still on your team.
He is on IR. He is on injured reserve right now. Slay got to step it up, man. If whatever you got left in the tank, bro, we need to see it now. CJ Gardner-Johnson, I love the talk. I love the passion, bro. Just back it up.
Speaking of Slay, how do you feel about how he acted after the game? I don't know if you saw it.
It's
been deleted, but first, right after the game, he was getting a lot of flack from the fans, obviously, and people just all on Twitter.
Because he didn't have a good game.
He didn't, and so he basically tweeted out all his, like, personal accolades and things he had done.
That's just...
Ended up deleting the tweet, and then I want to know how you felt about him going on Micah's podcast.
Oh, I didn't see... I didn't see that.
Yeah, he went on Micah's podcast, and they specifically talked about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and Slate. Micah was almost like... Same way he was basically like, how do you feel about CJ? And he's like giving, like, basically not talking back his smack talking. Darius Slay, he just kind of laughed about it. He didn't really have much pushback. Eagles fans are up in arms right now. I didn't know you didn't even know that.
I saw Slay said something. I didn't catch like that part of it. Dude, but I mean, Slay is a funny guy by nature, right? Like if you watch any of his press conferences, any of his interviews, anything, any interaction, he's a funny guy by nature. Like he's voted a captain, but like you need the rah-rah guy. Like you need the guys that like when he says shut up, you listen. Mm-hmm. Slay is not that guy. He's never been that guy, and I don't expect him to be that guy now. Right. Jalen Hurts is that guy, it seems like. For me, what it comes down to is because, like, okay, if CJ has a great game, we're not even talking about this, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not the only player in history to talk trash and then not back it up.
Oh, no, for sure.
Right? So, like, I mean, come on, man. Like I said, look, I'm here for the trash talk. I'm here for the trash talk. Just back it up.
Do you have a problem with Slay going on
Micah's podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, a little bit. Like, why are you even, like, dog, we got to focus on our house right now.
Right. And so
I got an innate problem with that. Like, what do you, like?
Yeah, I have a problem with him hosting Slay on his podcast. See, because I don't have a problem with his podcast in general. That's the podcast itself.
Come on, man. Like, you don't need to, like, this ain't the off season.
I don't mind it per se. I think, I'm not saying this is what you're saying, but a lot of the sentiment I see behind why people are against it, it's almost like the same, like, shut up and dribble narrative. Like, dude, just shut up and play football. And right. I'm not saying you're necessarily. So I'm all for these guys having a voice and speaking, but I think there should be.
I mean, there's a time and place.
I think, I agree. I just think specifically, like, when it comes to having Slay on there, I think there should be a lot more rivalry between the conference.
I mean, come on, listen.
Like, maybe, like, obviously I'm a fan and have been, but I just feel like when it comes to your division rivals, there should be almost a bit of hatred there.
Dude, I mean, professional athletes by nature now, like, especially those in, like, the NFL, NBA, they're buddy-buddy like nobody's business.
Right. I literally saw somebody who was kind of trying to defend them saying, like, they're closer, like, somebody, because somebody was saying, like, recording a podcast with the ops is crazy.
Right.
And somebody was basically like, dog, y'all gotta realize they're closer to being brothers than they are ops.
Yes. And while that is a beautiful thing, I like the Giannis's, I like the Russell Westbrook's, I like the Jimmy Butler's, I like the dudes that come in and say, nah, we ain't doing it like this, or like, this is how it's gonna go. Y'all can hate me if you want, but this is how it's going to go. Like, come on. Listen. Giannis, he doesn't train. He doesn't train with other NBA players.
Right.
I respect that. All right? Every time you step on that court, every time you step on that field, man, you already trying to take somebody's head off. You should be. I'm not here for all the buddy-buddy stuff, man. Like, I mean, I'm with you. I can't. That year, DeMarco, he bum rushed. He ran over our D tackle. You remember that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that game. That game was a feisty game. We was out over here, you know, getting in fights and everything. I love that.
No, like Dez Bryant, the way he felt about the Eagles, like, yeah, he would never have an Eagle on his.
It's a lot of buddy buddy stuff in professional sports, right? In terms of team sports nowadays. Me personally, It's like I said, it's a beautiful thing, I guess. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't want to see Slay on Micah Parsons' podcast. Like, Slay, what are you doing, dog? We 2-2 right now, bro, and we not looking good. You not looking good. So I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you nowhere but the lab. Right? I don't want to see you nowhere. I definitely don't want to see you on Micah Parsons' podcast. So, yeah, I mean, come on, dude. What are you, like, come on.
No, it was funny. I was talking to one of my friends about it. And I was like an Eagle on a Cowboys podcast, that didn't even make sense. And he was like, isn't that what y'all are doing?
That's exactly what we're doing.
I was like,
that's exactly what we're doing.
We don't play for the team.
We don't play for the team. We just root for the team.
Right. I was like, it's not the same. But
hey, I mean, yeah, look, come on, man. Come on. Listen, we doing what nobody's ever done before.
It was funny for sure.
So, yeah. Well, on that note, Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo, man. Please like, comment, subscribe. Again, we are available anywhere you can find podcasts now. YouTube coming soon.
No excuses.
No excuses.
You can listen to us anywhere.
All right. This is episode 5. We're coming. Locked and loaded. Stay tuned. We appreciate you all. Peace.
Later.